How many of you miss Rick? Raise your hands. I do. Don was a little afraid that maybe we're going to be out of the sanctuary by about 10:45. For most people, that's a gift from God, right? And I'm not helping extend the time with the two scripture passages, both of which are rather short. The first is from Psalm 37, beginning at verse 23 and reading through verse 28. Our steps are made firm by the Lord when He delights in our way. Though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong, for the Lord holds us by the hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. They are ever giving liberally and lending, and their children become a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so you shall abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and will not forsake His faithful ones. And then from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money. It figures, right? They give me one chance to speak and I'm dealing with money. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may the words we have just read from Your word written speak to our hearts and empower our lives. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had the feeling that God is not listening to your prayers? Have you ever sensed that just when you need God most in life, He's not there? That God is silent? I have. Something troubling happens in life. So you pray. Something serious happens. An illness, a serious illness strikes you or someone you love deeply. A cherished relationship is fractured for some reason, and you don't know how to fix it. Or maybe you suffer a job loss. Something serious happens, and you call out to God for help, for comfort, for strength. And all you hear in return is silence. Nothing. It seems sometimes as if God is just not paying attention, not listening. When the great Christian writer C.S. Lewis's wife died of cancer, he called out to God for help, for strength, for comfort. And he heard nothing in response. And C.S. Lewis wondered what that meant. And he asked, why is it that in time of prosperity, God seems so present? And in time of trouble, God seems so absent. A month or so ago, I finished reading a book by William Kent Kruger with the wonderful title, Ordinary Grace. It's the story of a short period of time in the life of Ruth and Nathan Drum and their family, consisting of two sons and a daughter. Nathan Drum was the pastor of three Methodist churches in small towns in Minnesota. The book is set in the 50s, and so the Methodist Church was not yet known as the United Methodist Church. One night, Ruth and Nathan's oldest child, a daughter, a high school senior named Ariel, did not come home. And of course, they were deeply concerned about it. Ariel did not come home the next day either, or the day after that, or the following day. The town gathered around the Drum family. The congregation was supportive, and they organized search parties and looked all over town. And finally, Ariel's body was found in the river near town. And at first, everyone thought she had somehow stumbled into the river and drowned. But the medical examiner discovered that that was not the case at all. Instead, Ariel had been brutally murdered, and then her body had been thrown into the river. The Sunday following Ariel's death, the district superintendent of the Methodist Church agreed to preach and lead worship at two of Reverend Drum's congregations. But Nathan Drum himself wanted to lead worship and preach at the Third Avenue Methodist Church in the town of New Bremen, where the Drum family lived. And in his sermon, Reverend Drum reflected on the devastating loss of their daughter and how, as a family, their hearts were broken. One they loved deeply was gone. It was a dark time for the Drum family. And it led Nathan to think about the darkest moment in the life of Jesus. When in his agony on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" At that moment, Jesus must have felt abandoned, betrayed by the one he trusted, the one he'd always believed loved him unconditionally, totally, absolutely. "Father, why have you forsaken me?" And do you remember what Jesus heard back from God after asking that question? Nothing. Silence. There was no word from God for Jesus. Until 3 days later. And then Easter, resurrection, new life, hope again. So when we feel abandoned, lost, forsaken by God, what's left for us? Well, we can shake our fist in God's face and argue. We can blame God for doing something to us, for causing something to happen to us. Or we can do something else. About a month ago, TNT television sportscaster Craig Sager was honored at the ESPYs by being presented with the Jim Valvano Award for Perseverance. The presentation was made by Vice President Joe Biden. At the time of the award, and continuing since then, Craig Sager has been battling leukemia. He'd been fighting it for 2 years or so. He'd gone through chemotherapy and relapses and more treatments and a bone marrow transplant. And even as he received the award, he was receiving regular treatments for the leukemia. In his comments following his reception of the honor, Craig Sager spoke emotionally, poignantly, and from his heart. He was grateful for the love and support of his family and his broadcast family. He said he will always continue to live and love and have fun. It's the only way he knows how to live. And he said he believes in hope for tomorrow. And then he said, if we don't have faith and hope, we have nothing. God gives us those gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 reminds us that God gives us the gifts of faith and hope and one more thing, love. And God will not take those gifts back. They're ours. We can disregard them, or we can use them. On the darkest night, we can still claim faith in Jesus Christ. We can still embrace hope. We can still trust God's love. At the end of his sermon, following the death of his daughter, Reverend Drum said to his congregation, "Whether or not you believe in miracles, I guarantee that God will give you a miracle. Maybe not the miracle you're praying for. God does not undo things. But after the sunset, after the darkest night, the sun will rise again, and so will we."